Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
We'll be studying 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 49, and we will be looking at what all the Bible has to say about how the dead are raised. Tonight we will be concluding the chapter before we go over to eat and whatever other fun that y'all have planned. And so, but 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 49, How Are the Dead Raised is the title of the message. And I'm going to read verse 35, and then we will pray, and then we'll begin. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? And so we'll be studying that this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray now that you forgive me for my sins. I do pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. I thank you for Gracie's salvation. I do pray that you would save Zach. I do pray that you would bless, save their mom and dad. I do pray that you would do a work in this place this morning that only can be explained by saying God did it. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to worship you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How are the dead raised? So by way of introduction this morning, how are the dead raised? Verse 35 says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Now, if you'll remember in our previous study in chapter 15, back in verse 12, Paul said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And so there were some people in the church at Corinth that were denying the resurrection of the dead. Now, they did not deny that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They were saying, well, Christ rose, but believers, when they die, they're just dead. And this was because in Greek culture, the idea that the body would rise from the dead and live on was kind of just an idea that they would have thought was disgusting, that it was something that was repulsive. A lot of Greeks believed that the body was like a prison for the soul, and that when you died, your soul was set free. And so there were some among them that said, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? And so understand when we read verse 35 here, that this is not sincere questioning. This is not people... I've read in some Bible translations where it sounds like these are just sincere type questions, but actually these are mocking type questions. What they're doing is these same people who are saying, denying that the dead rise, are saying, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Because their thinking is, nobody rises from the dead, because if a person dies, their body decays. And then what are you saying? That like zombies are going to come out of the ground? How are the dead raised up? So it's kind of a mocking thing that they're doing. And that is why Paul responds in the next verse by calling them foolish. And so now we're going to look at that. And we'll look at some illustrations of the resurrection of the dead. Some illustrations of the resurrection of the dead. And in verse 36, the Word of God says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. So what the Apostle Paul here is doing is they have mockingly asked, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? And so Paul uses some illustrations from nature to show them that things must die before they live. Things must die before they live. And he says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive except it die. And so just like the illustration I just used with the children about the apple seeds, you plant apple seeds in the ground and they split open. and a shoot comes out of them, and then it's in soil, and then it grows up into a tree, and then it produces apples from that little seed. That which thou sowest does not become alive except it dies. Verse 37, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. And so when you sow something, just like that apple seed, you don't sow what it will be, but you sow just a bare seed, a bare grain. And you sow it into the earth, and it comes up as something very different from what you sowed into the earth. The Bible says, that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. You could sow something in the ground, and it could turn up to be wheat. It could turn up to be some other kind of grain. But you're not sowing in the earth what comes up. All right, is everybody following this so far? Looks like we need some coffee this morning. All right, coffee vendors will be coming through the back of the church shortly. Don't worry about it. All right, now verse 38, the Bible says, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So he's still using a natural illustration just to planting, and he's saying that God gives it whatever body it pleases him. You sow apple seeds, and they turn into apple trees and produce apples. If you sow, help me out, because I don't farm. Somebody give me another seed.
Corn.
It turns up to ears of corn, corn stalks. If you sow pumpkin seeds, they grow pumpkins. And so God giveth it a body, is it as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. Now he's using an illustration of flesh. He's used the idea of plants, and now he uses flesh. And he says all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts or animals, another flesh of fishes, and another of birds. So fish have scales, birds have feathers, beasts have beast flesh, and people have skin. And so he's using illustrations to show that different kinds of creatures have different kinds of flesh. Verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. So there are earthly and heavenly bodies. But the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Just like different seeds are sown in the ground and they come up with different bodies, different things, and different animals have different flesh, even so also the stars in the heavens have a different glory than things on the earth. And Wesley kind of sums this up well. John Wesley says, there are also heavenly bodies as the sun, moon, and stars. And there are earthly as vegetables and animals. But the brightest luster which the latter can have is widely different from that of the former. And so there's a big difference between an apple tree on earth and its glory and the stars in heaven. They have different kinds of glory. Each one's glorious. Each one's glorious. It's glorious when you go into a field and you pick an apple and you can eat it, if you like apples. Maybe you like oranges. It's glorious when you can eat an orange. But that's a different kind of glory than when the sun rises in the morning and gives us heat, and when the stars shine at night. That's a different kind of glory. And so the Bible is giving this illustration. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. And he's using all these illustrations to show that when people die and are buried and they rise, there's going to be a different glory than what they were on earth. And we'll show you that now. For we have the application of the illustrations. The application of the illustrations. The question is, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? And so he's given some natural illustrations. Now he's going to give us some practical illustrations here. And he's going to tell us, verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. By the way, the word corruption means that which is subject to corruption, that which is perishable. When you die, when I die, our bodies will be buried in the earth. Or if you're cheap, then they'll be cremated. I have instructed my wife when I die to bury me in the cheapest way possible. Some people think that's irreverent, but it really doesn't matter. People die at sea and they go into the sea and their bodies get eaten by fishes and whatnot and decay, and God will still put them back together when He raises them from the dead. But at any rate, after what we went through with my dad's funeral, I told my wife, when I die, you bury me in the cheapest way possible. Yes, I like the word cheap. She likes the word economical. But some way I'm going to put it in my will that that's to occur. but nonetheless, our bodies corrupt when they die. And this is the problem that these people in the church who were saying there is no resurrection of the dead, this is the problem they had. They couldn't imagine that a body could be raised that had decayed in the earth. They couldn't imagine that that body could be raised and could be something that person would want to live in again. And so the Bible says that it is, we'll go back to that verse, it is sown in corruption. It is sown as something that will decay. It is sown in something that will turn back to dust. But it is raised in incorruption. So Paul is simply telling them under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, when your body is raised, it won't be decaying. It won't be corrupt anymore. It will be incorruptible. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It's kind of, it's dishonorable what happens to us when we die. Now, we don't think, we are honoring the dead by the way we do it. When my mother passed away, we had a beautiful casket that we picked out, and her hair was done and everything. It was all nice. And we honored her body when she died. She wasn't in her body. She was absent from her body. The Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But we honored her body when she died. But it's still a very dishonorable thing if you think about it. I mean, when you die, they take you and they pump you full of embalming fluid and they make you look nice. I suppose if you die with a frown on your face, they kind of put a smile on you. And they do all those things. It's very dishonorable. If you were alive, you would stop them. You would say, please stop doing this. But yet it is sown in dishonor. And also the way we're buried, it's dishonorable. You're put in a little box and then people lower you into the ground and shovel dirt on top of you. It is sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. Think about the contrast here. Buried in the ground, 6 feet under, dirt shoveled on top of you, and a tombstone put up is the memory that there is of you in that cemetery. That's the memorial to you. And yet, one day when you are raised from the dead, you will be raised in glory. Now, we talked earlier, we showed the illustration earlier, how the glory of one thing differs from another. How the glory of the sun, moon, and stars differs from the glory of a plant on the earth or a person on the earth. And therefore, what we are buried as, we talked about a seed and how when it's put in the ground, when it comes up as a plant, when that apple seed's buried and it comes up as an apple tree, the tree doesn't look like the seed, but it came from the seed. And so that's the way the human body is. It is buried in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. The older we get, the weaker we get. That's an unfortunate part of growing old. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, as he's talking about, he was an older man when he wrote Ecclesiastes, and so he gives this beautiful illustration of growing old towards the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, and he talks about all these things that happen when you're old and how the body kind of starts to break down. And it's true. We are sown in weakness, the ultimate weakness. You can't do anything. You're dead. If you were alive, you'd protest. And in the old days, when people did get buried alive, they built these things that they could attach to coffins. Some people paid the money and had them attached so that if they got buried alive, they could ring a bell and let people know. So they'd come dig them out before they suffocated. You won't be buried alive today, I can assure you of that. Once they get through pumping you full of embalming fluid, if you weren't dead when you went in, you'll be dead when you come out. But nonetheless, we are sown in weakness, the ultimate weakness. We're dead. But the body is raised in power. Think about that. Sown in weakness, raised in power. When Jesus Christ died, you know, the Bible says he's the first fruits of them that died and will rise. And so think about this. When Jesus Christ died, how weak his body was when he died on that cross. He had been beaten. He had lost a lot of blood. He had been on the cross for hours trying to push up so that he could breathe. And then he dies. Complete weakness. And yet, when he rises from the dead, the stone rolls away and he walks out. And he's in perfect health. In perfect health. And so, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Now, the phrase natural body and spiritual body is not talking about, it's not saying that some people, that when we get raised from the dead, we will be like spirits. It is simply saying that there's a natural body that we're born with that decays and dies and grows older, and then there's a spiritual body we're raised with that is like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that will never grow old and will never get sick and will never die. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So the resurrection body is an incorruptible body. Number two, it is a glorious body. Number three, it's a powerful body. And number four, we have seen that it's a spiritual body. Be nice if we had that body right now, wouldn't it? It is sown a natural body. Again, verse 44, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam God created in the Garden of Eden. He created him in as the perfect man. And Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden, and they would have never died. But they sinned, and so death came into the world. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. God breathed into him. He made him from the dust of the earth, breathed into him. He became a living soul. But the last Adam, that is Jesus Christ, was made a life-giving spirit. And that's what quickening means. It means the last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a life-giving spirit. Verse 46, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. Notice that Adam, when he was born, when he was created in a natural body. He was the first. And then Jesus Christ was raised in a spiritual body, and he's the last. And so, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Notice what it's saying here. It's just giving an illustration. It's saying, look, when you're born the first time, you're born in the pattern of Adam. You're born in the pattern of Adam when you're born the first time. You're born with a body. Because we inherit Adam's sin nature, we're born with a body that will grow old and die. Adam died, Eve died. They weren't created to die, but they sinned in the Garden of Eden, and sin brought death into the world. And so we are born the first time with bodies like Adam's that will grow old and die. But the second man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not of the earth, but he's the Lord from heaven. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And so, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As Adam was, so are all who are born of Adam. That's why you've got to be born again. That's why you've got to be born again. If you want to have a resurrection body one day, if you want to be raised from the dead and have a resurrection body that is like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be born again. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. All that's saying is that as is Jesus Christ, in his resurrection body, so also are those who belong to Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus Christ rose from the dead in a body that would never die, that would never grow sick, that would never age, so are all of us that believe in him. We one day will rise with a resurrection body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you're going to look just like Jesus Christ, but it means you're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, what do we look like when we rise from the dead? I don't know. We'll look beautiful. That's right, honey. We'll look great. We're going to have a spiritual body, a powerful body. We're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, well, we know one another. Well, of course we're going to know one another. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus went up there, the disciples knew Moses and Elijah even though they'd never seen them. Don't you think that when we die we're going to know one another? And when we rise from the dead we'll know one another? Of course we will. Somebody asked Evangelist John Rice one time, do you think we'll know one another in heaven? And John Rice said, do you think we'll be dumber in heaven than we are now? Of course, we're going to know one another. And our bodies, we will recognize one another when we rise. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, as we have borne Adam's image, as we have borne the image of man, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. One day, you may die. If the rapture does not take place, we'll talk about that tonight, but if the rapture doesn't take place, you're going to die, and I'm going to die. And when we die, we'll be put in the ground But one day we will bear the image of Jesus Christ. We'll be like Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's why God saved you. That was His ultimate goal in saving you. The Bible says, for whom He foreknew, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Why did God save you? Why did God chose to know you? Why did God call you out and save you for His glory? He saved you because His goal was that one day you would be like Jesus. And you will. Salvation is not just the salvation of your soul. It's not just that we die and we get to go to heaven one day, but it's a complete salvation that is also the salvation of your body. The Bible says that we are waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so one day, when God saves you, you're born into the family of God. He adopts you, meaning He places you into the family as an adult son. But adoption will be completed one day when your body is redeemed. One day, your body that was buried in the earth, your soul and spirit that are in heaven, will be reunited with your body. And that body that is decayed and is turned into dust and is no more, God will reassemble and put back together into something glorious, and He will raise it up from the dead, and your soul and spirit will be back inside your body, a glorious body, and you will live forever in God's kingdom in a physical body, like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, that ought to make everybody happy. No more walking sticks. No more knee surgeries. No more pain pills. No more aches and pains. No more blindness. No more deafness. No more weakness. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. If you've never been saved, then you don't have this promise. Your destination is hell. And so if you've never been saved, we invite you to get saved today by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Him as your personal Savior. He died on the cross for you. He was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the dead. He has overcome death, hell in the grave, and He wants to save you. And if you'll receive Him by faith as your Savior, He'll save you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You for the truth of Thy resurrection. I thank You for the resurrection of the body. I thank You that one day, just as we have borne the image of Adam in weakness and death, that one day we will bear the image of Jesus Christ in power and resurrection. We praise Your name for that. We pray if anyone here is not saved, that You would save their souls this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.